I'm not necessarily saying if it doesn't have to be cataclysmic. It can be just somebody that ticked you off at work, you know, said something that was inappropriate and ticked you off. And now the Lord wants you to forgive them. And I look at these players. Do you know one of them was a whore? Excuse me. Was a prostitute? And he used her. And he allowed a wall to crumble, except the wall where she dropped that ribbon scarf material, whatever it was, fabric. There's archaeological evidence of him with his promises. And he made that so stark that we can still look at it today and know that's her wall. And really it's his in the sense of his faithfulness. How much more has he forgiven? Just how much more has he forgiven? A bunch more. And I'll tell you what, man, seeing the men live in liberty, the freedom, you know, the responsibility that comes with freedom, to see them live in a greater sense of liberty. You men that were there yesterday, tell me your day in your last 24 hours wasn't a little bit different than it was when you walked in. Because it is different. It's different when we've been with the Lord. It's always different when we've been with the Lord. You know, it's Christmas Eve a week from today, isn't it? What'd you get me? Oh, you just gave it. Thank you. A bunch of smiles. You're showing your love, your glistening eyes. Thank you so much. You know what I got for you? I love you. 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 I love you four. I love you how many? I love you too. I love you guys. I love you. 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 I love you, little buddy. I love you, sis, brother. Brother, sis, brother, brother. That's the best gift ever, isn't it? And we get to celebrate that. Now, we're not doing Christmas Eve night. We're just going to do the morning service, and we're going to go to the Christmas night service that we typically do, Christmas Eve service. But my prayer for you this week, listen, my prayer for you this week is that your heart is transformed to his likeness in the sense of when you're giving something to somebody, you're thinking about the gift that was given to you that are saved. You that aren't saved yet, that gift is still afforded to you. All you got to do is take it and put it to use, not stomp on it. You know how a kid does. You get a gift and, you know, they got this really cool Lego set and you find all the parts at 2 a.m. in the morning when you right next to the cat hurling on the floor. That's always fun. It's not that kind of gift. It's the kind of gift, listen, it's the kind of gift you wear. The gift of humility. The gift of no longer caring about yourself's motives any longer. The gift that just gives you. Wow. What a gift, huh? Now, I don't know when his actual birthday is. I'm sticking with December 25th because that's the day we've kind of marked to say, hey, thanks for bringing little fella into the world. Because he's going to take those nails through his wrist and through his heels for us. I'm thankful for that. I really am. I'm thankful that we get to see what the pagans did with these lights to try to encourage beyond the 22nd that the sun will need some help so it gets more light. They didn't understand the solstice, so they decorated their areas and orbs with light. But I look at that and I see all y'all lit up, you know. I see that green. And I think about everlasting life in an evergreen sense. I see the triangulation in the tree, and I think of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I also think of a husband and wife as they draw closer to the Lord, they draw closer to themselves. I look at the gifts, and I think not so much of what he gave, which is the predominant, but that each of you are a gift to one another. Do you know that you're a gift to your family? And you need to let them know that you are. No, I'm kidding. That'd be arrogant. I'm your gift and you better darn sure like it. No, it's not like that. You know, you're a gift to people. You're a precious treasure. You have everything that he's given you. And my encouragement to you is that you act like it. You're a child of the Most High. All of us here stand equally as a priesthood believers before the Lord. Not one over the other, just different responsibilities. And you know something? He just thinks you hung the moon, even though he did. But he thinks you did. He is, to use that term, he's over the moon about you. He just thinks you're something sky high, man. And you know what? You walk differently when you know the Lord loves you and he's not mad at you. You know, these folks getting baptized, the water isn't doing anything. That's the symbolism that John the Baptist did. You know, he baptized with water. He said, I baptize with water, but he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And at the time that Jesus got baptized, that Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove, whatever that like means. This is a time that they get to receive the Holy Spirit. This time today, when we get done with the teaching, this time today will mark a day in their lives that they're telling you, brethren, to pray for myself, in their case, to pray for them. Because now they're your brothers and sisters in the battle. Period. Dave, we see baptisms here all the time. That's a good thing. Right? But this isn't the end. Gerald, this isn't the end for you. You know, when you go on a vacation and you're using your car to get there, you stick your key in the car, right? Debbie, you put the key in the car, right? We're moving forward. Jack, well, he's not here. Richard, same way. And you that are going to get baptized that you don't even know, in the case the Lord tugs on your heart a bit to do so, don't worry, we got towels. You'll dry off. It's Colorado. We got a massive 20% humidity. You'll dry. That's putting the key in the car to start the trip. This is not the end of your trip. This is not the sum total of who you are in the Lord. Are you still fogging a mirror? Then you have work to do in the Lord. And most of it has to do with praising him and then joining him wherever he's working. This time is a gift for you because you're getting to see your brothers and sisters activated, in a sense. Oh, you've already been doing the work of the Lord along the way. That's that. But we get to share in it with you. And it's a call on our hearts to pray for you. It's a call on our hearts to come along beside you and love you and help support you in any way that God sees fit in us to help. Do you understand? This is a family day. Oh, that's right. Every day we gather is a family day, isn't it? Well, you can go ahead and hit the record there, buddy. We'll be at 10 o'clock here next Sunday, you know. So tell me when I get a thumbs up. Thank you. I titled it. Oh, there it is. What does it say? Now, how does this body work again? Ah, clothed in him. What body are we talking about? Any body? Nobody? I ain't got nobody. Body of Christ? All of it. All of it. You know, we have been in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians. We'll be in chapter 4 today. I think 1 through 16, is it? Yeah, 1 through 16. And we're going into the section of Ephesians where it talks about how we're to interact with one another. You know, this is one of the books that isn't a corrective book. The book of Ephesians is an encouragement book. It shows us how we're to get along with one another, how we're to interact with each other, how we're to play, how we're to work with one another. And those first three chapters kind of showed us, and we're not going to go down that road long, on how not to be separated from the Lord. Look, separation from the Lord is forever for you that don't give your life to Jesus. You will eternally be separated from him. All the stuff that you like to blame God for, and I'm not talking you individual, I'm saying a generalization in the word you. The society likes to blame God for ills. We even have insurance companies that say all calamities are acts of God. Well, I'm sorry, but the God I know, one of his acts was saving me. One of his acts was forgiving me of my billions of sins. He's forgiven me of the 200 and roughly 70,000 steps a month that I will take, though I took those over the years, calendars, plural, away from him. Millions upon millions of steps away from him. And guess what? He came back all in one fell swoop with one step to him. He forgave all of those steps. Isn't that amazing? Dave, you've been talking about this for 3 weeks. Good. Because I guarantee you, as soon as you walk... Here, let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. What's today? Sunday? Okay. What did you have for dinner 17 days ago when you ate? Tacos? You have tacos every day. No fair. No, you didn't. What did you have for dinner 17 days ago? Do you understand? It's okay that you remember, or you lie, or that you do remember, or that you don't remember. It doesn't matter. But look, this is what it's like. We're very forgetful very quickly. It's why we want to be in the Word daily. It's why we want to be in the studies regularly. It's why we want to be found when He comes back. We want to be found holding a Bible open or your screen open, sharing the Word with somebody, praying for somebody. You want to be found faithful, because guess what? When you're not His. You're not His. What does that feel like to know that you're not His? Horrible. Empty. It absolutely is empty. Look, I've lived a life of not wanting to be His. I've lived an entire life of not being His. I talked with a guy yesterday. He's 36 years old. That's when I came to know the Lord. It was right around that time. I look at him and I go, dang, there's like 29, 30 years between he and I. And I don't even have a full half, the other half of my life. I got to be like in my mid-70s to get half life of living for the Lord. But can I tell you something? Even 1 minute living the Lord was in totality full, stamped, redeemed, paid in full. You get the 100% benefits of everything heaven bound. Isn't that wild? I'm so thankful for that. Why do I want to be separated? Why do your friends want to be so separated from? Why do you want to be unloving? Why do you want to be hateful? Why do you want to stamp your feet in the way you think it should go down? Why do we want to do that? Sin, obviously, but why don't we want to just model the love of Jesus and sacrifice from desires of self and give it all to Him all the time, every day? Every motivation, every thought. That's a lot of work. Yeah, well, so is being separated. The only difference is we're vastly familiar with it. When we're more familiarizing ourselves with the attributes of mercy, grace, love, that's mercy plus grace equals love. When we're more settled with those attributes, when we're more settled with the desires of Him and not what's on our schedule or our time clock, which may be His anyway, when that becomes more important, do you know it actually becomes easier to practice selflessness? And then when you see selfishness, you're like, oh, have you guys ever walked into somebody's backyard and they didn't clean up after their dog? And they got like a lot of landmines back there? Don't raise your hand if that's you. I don't want to go to your house. You know that middle of the summer smell that's just aromatic? That's what it's like when we do the work of the world. But those flowers, the little bees like to come to and the all that beautiful stuff that has that nice smell to them, that's all the floral of the Lord, which is you when you're working for Him. So you can either be the thing that fertilizes the floral or you can be the floral, you know. You'll be the fertilizer. I believe you because you're full of fertilizer. Right? You know, it's easier to do the things of the Lord. It's so much easier. It's easy to not smoke dope. It's easy to not drink. It's easy to not cuss. It's easy to love. Because you look at a person, and when you see the value mark of the cross on that person, here, you may just take your thumb and, like in your mind, draw a cross on every person that you see on any screen or any live, that you draw a cross on their forehead, that He died for them too, regardless of their response or lack thereof. And you know something? When you're now so dialed into the Lord that words that are spoken to you really don't have a matter to you, you're not offended by them. I still get offended. I'm still a work in progress. My goal is to not be offended by the things that come from worldliness any longer. That's a big ask for a guy that can easily have pride in his life unchecked. You see, all of those other things keep me separate from the Lord. I don't want to be separated from Him. Listen, I don't want to be separated from the Lord. Do you? Now, careful. Do you? Because your life needs to show that enamorment with the Lord. Your life needs to show the amour of Him. Your life needs to show you're a work in progress, being chipped, chiseled, and honed away to where that relief, that what the marble figurine looks like when the marble is and the artist is done with it, you. When you, listen, when you come into that understanding of who you are within the Lord, failing forward, the beauty that I get to see in each and every one of your eyes, your face, your complexion, your comportment. When you're seeing other people with the eyes of God, your life looks different. You're no longer critical of somebody, expecting them to be a certain way that you think would be proper before you love them. I had that. You had to wear orange and blue before I loved you. Sunrise, sunset, Broncos. You had to be a Southern accent speaker before I would consider you to have a brain. If you couldn't talk like this, I want nothing to do with you. You Yankee. What? I look at me now and I still have that Southern way. I mean, when I read the word, it said, He was there in the beginning. Through everything was created, through Him, everything was created. That's how I hear Him talking. Because when you get to heaven, you find out Jesus has a Southern accent, you're going to be going, that Dave was on to something. Man. He's given you these multitude of blessings. The goodness that you see in the world is Him. Can we just take a 20 seconds here, wipe away everything that you consider goodness of God. Tell me when you have that in your mind's eye. Everything's gone. And none of it will come back ever. Ever. Sandlot style. Forever. You will never have that goodness. Do you sense that at all, even remotely? And the angst and the heart tensioning thing that's happening inside, that never relieves. That's what it's like to not have God forever. That's not for us. That is something we understand as a call to arms in the sense of going to our knees to pray for our friends that they'll become one with Him. You know, one in spirit, one in deed, one in actionable cause. And then praising the Lord for all the goodness that He's doing through them. Dude, I quit smoking 3 joints this week. I only had 2. Wow, you're down from 5? Bro, that's, you know, He'll heal the rest of that too. But dude, looky there. Yeah, you know what? I don't even know if I'm going to have those other 2 next week either. Man, that's awesome. Dude, check this out. You know what it says in Ephesians? It says, hey, don't be drunk on wine. I ain't a wino. Yeah, but you're a marijuana-o. Don't be filled with marijuana. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be filled with anger or any intoxicating ways. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know? And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you do all those really, from His view, just causes. Right? That's kind of the nutshell of separation or not. Look, when He comes, and He will come. When He comes later today at 3:27, we don't know the hour or day, but can you imagine if that was the case? And you have about 4 hours left, but you don't know it, He's here. Gone. I missed that. I've been in church 17 years and I missed the whole thing. Do you understand? It's just not the non-believers. But Lord, didn't we do all these things? Bro, get off me, man. I don't even know you. You did it for you. It's not a hack. It's an encouragement to not go down that hack type road. You understand? Yeah. How does this body work again? Oh, clothed in him. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all of this. I'm thankful for the times that are calamitous. I'm thankful that we get to grow in his likeness. I'm thankful for the trials. It looks like Molly's funeral for her mom is going to be December 30th at Whitefields Church in Longmont. You know, Joan, who we, some of you guys know, she's been with us for a while now. Circa noon, currently, if you're making notes for our schedulers. You schedulers, you'll just figure it out when it comes to you, you lack of schedulers. You schedulers, her funeral will be December 30th around noon, Whitefields, Calvary Chapel, Longmont. She gave just now permission at the asking of that funeral. Let's get into the word here. We'll be in Ephesians 4. Again, that being clothed in him is a dual statement, one singularly, one collectively. You all are a part of the body of Christ, right? Some of you are round, some of you are not round. Some of you have hair, some of you are pelon. Some of you have fingernails, some of you don't. Some of you have meaty hands, some of you have toothpick fingers. It doesn't matter. You're all part of the body of Christ, and you all are clothed in his righteousness. But each person within that righteousness, that body, is dressed like unto him. Can I encourage you in one way? Humility. Be clothed in his righteousness. Humility. That humbleness will allow you to acquiesce unto him and listen to him when you're in a challenging time or just a time where you need wisdom. But in pride, you'll just soldier through something, and that's okay for that. You know, I'm an ex-military man, not ex, you're never ex. But I've been a military man in my life. There is some soldiering that happens, right? But in the army of the Lord, I need to listen to the supreme commander, and I only listen to one, and that's him, and whoever he's guiding it through. We're to be bound in love. We're to have a calling on our life, and how do we live within that calling? By all the stuff we've just been talking about. But the number one thing, listen, is to have all caps, zero motivation of self. Have you been practicing that? Let that be a gift that you give to your family this season and seasons to come. Of the gift of no longer considering self, considering others more importantly than you do. Because our Savior, that didn't have to come and save you, did just that for you. And the death that he faced grieved the Lord, obviously, but it was part of the plan. But still, it grieved him that the people he came to save wanted to kill his own son. You don't think he knows about grief? Zero expectations on people. Dave, you talk about this a lot, and we will until we continue to see it modeled. Don't put expectations on people that they can't even live up to. A couple of things happen. You're setting them up for failure from your eyes, and you're going to get angry because they didn't come through with what you thought they should have in the first place. We love people where God has them and where he wants them to be, not where we think they should be. And we forgive them by turning over the elements of forgiveness to him because he says, "Vengeance is mine, so saith the Lord, I will repay." Because our repayment will never satisfy or satiate. Humility is a privilege. Absence of self is a privilege. You know, when you no longer have self-concerns, you look a little peculiar. You look like you're wearing tie-dye in a room full of suits. Or you look like you're in a suit in a room full of tie-dye. Right? It looks peculiar. Why? Because folks are always used to selfies and self-me. They're not used to seeing you living humility under thee. You can't have a self-serving way and serve the Lord in the same breath. You have to deny yourself to serve Him. He'll give you the answers to your desires. Who do you think put them on your heart to begin with? Man knows his plans. The Lord will guide his steps, right? Who do you think gave you the plan? I love it when my plans line up with His. You know, the flesh, it desires after its own will. I don't want my flesh. You know, let me ask you, this just kind of in my head, do you get repulsed by you sometimes? I mean, really, do you kind of look at yourself and go, I am so sick of you and your motives? Usually those happen because you're not dialed in with the Lord, you know? But I don't think He ever really says that. You know what He says, or He sees? You through the lens of Jesus. That's how He sees you. Isn't that amazing? He sees you through His Son. That's how we should see people. I like to look at people for what God would have them be. I look at every single human, whether on a street corner or they built the street corner. I like to look at them as valuable because they are. Because on the cross, He set their value for eternity. And they get the opportunity to choose or not if they don't want to choose in that direction. When you look at people with intrinsic value, your way about you will change. It just will. You'll look at a person and consider them more than yourself. You'll bring them into your homes. You'll take them to dinner. They'll be a part of your family. At minimum, they'll be a part of your prayer life in some kind of hazed view of their face for as long as you're breathing. You know? I sicken when I want to do things of my own. Because it's not that I'm living some type of legalistic life. I just have seen such the goodness of God that I don't want to live with what I think is good. I want to live a life that looks like His goodness. And it comes at the cost of giving mercy where mercy isn't necessarily done. Giving grace where grace isn't necessarily merited, which isn't grace at all. Grace is an unmerited favoring. You know, our worth is set on the cross. Our worthiness is set in the calling. That calling that He puts on your life shows your worthiness in return to Him, maybe saying thank you. I love joining Dad in His work. Well, you're a pastor, you should. Nah, dude, I'm Dave. My name's Dave Pierce. I've been an alcoholic 17 years. Hi, Dave. No. I love doing the work of the Lord on His terms. I love seeing Him work and joining Him in. And by the way, would you like to know how many times a day that happens? A multitude of times. Every single day. Every single day I'm dialed into Him, I get to see the work. Do you have time for anything else? Well, of course. That's part of the seeing Him, joining Him in the work. He inflates you. What? Marshmallow Man? No. He inflates you. It's called inspire. Hey, do you know what expire is? That's a termination date, right? You guys know your dash, right? You have the year you're born, the year you died, and they're the dash in the middle. You're the dash in the middle right now. But there is an expire. That means the air has come down. It has come out, right? The inspire is being breathed into by someone or entity. God inspires you. He inflates you. You're breathed into. Thus God breathed. Is that amazing? How can God breathe into me? I don't know. Suck air through your nose and blow it out. He figured it out, showed you how to work. And you didn't even have to go to school. Can you imagine if you failed at breathing? Right? You just ain't going to live much longer than that. That's one of those other things when I used to be an evolutionist. I went, man, they had to learn how to breathe. Wow, if they got it wrong, it's kind of done. If the mother, whatever the mother is of that species, didn't work, you're kind of done. There's a lot of little things like your God breathed. He's breathing into you. It's not a job, it's a calling. Listen, you guys that have been given your life to Christ and been baptized to show your friend, what about the people that have given their life and haven't been baptized? They still have the Lord. They died without baptism. It's okay. Go pour a cup of water on their grave? No, don't do that. That's not what we're talking about. You're inspired by the Lord. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. You know? You're inspired by the Lord. You're breathed in. All Scripture is God breathed. All Scripture is inspired. The breath was blown into, you know? Yeah. I love this part. I love this part of this chapter. In verse 1, he says, therefore, meaning that he's made this argument of separation until now. So from there and forward, right? Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Stop right there. Isn't that something? That the Most High that said, angel, step aside. I'm going to speak this whole thing into existence. And oh, by the way, the light that takes 3 trillion light years to get here will already have been here because I spoke it into that exactness. Stand back. It's going to happen. That same God that parted the seas, caused Jesus to walk on water, and rolled away the stone is the same God that has called you. He says he's a prisoner. Well, this is a real prison that he is in. Do you know why he's in prison? Because he stole bananas. No. He shared the word of God with a people group that did not want to hear it. Isn't that wild? Sound like a faultless blame? Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. You have been called by God. Hold your hand up. Put it on your chest. I've been called by God. Pretty wild, huh? Always be humble. I don't know if I had that scripture. I'll just read it out. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If requires an action. My people, that God calls us yours. If my people who are called by my name, that's by everybody else, sees you as such. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their own wicked ways, then I'll hear them from heaven, forgive them their sins, and heal their land. You've been called. The idea of humbling them oneself is to fast. Don't raise your hands. If you have fasted, amen. If you've never fasted in your life, begin. If you have medical condition that keeps you from it, ask the Lord what kind of fast he would prefer you be and do. Typically, we talk about food fast, right? You do a 3-day fast. Wow, it's a big move. 10 days, big move. 40 days, amazing. 80 days, amazing still, you know? But that time spent with the Lord, you're even telling your body that no, you're not going to have that greasy cheese from Burger King, right? You're going to quiet yourself. You're not having anything. Maybe some juice, maybe some grapes, maybe a modified fast. But you're going to take your body and tell it what it's going to do and what it's not going to do. Can I tell you one of the strengths of fasting that comes? First of all, your body starts healing itself instantly. Fasting is one of the quickest ways for your body to get healed. And if you're doing it just for the healing, we're going about it the wrong way. I'm not saying you can't use it medically. We're talking about the spiritual make whole and take that body into control. And I'll tell you, man, God honors those times. You do one meal a day and you're going to be like, all you can think about is food. You take a whole day of fast, all you can think about is food. That'll show you how much you actually think about food. And all that time you would have thought about food, erase that and replace that with thinking on the Lord and being about his business. You understand? Beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. always be. Paul's not saying, oh, just do it when you're in church. Just do it, you know, at the meal after church. But as soon as the ticket comes and you slap it in somebody else's. No, no, no. Always be humble. Always have a gentleness. We may bring that into the same understanding of meek. And we look at the word as gentle. I'm going to speak to the men for just a moment and the proud women. We think of meek being weak and gentle being something you don't want to be. Let me tell you about meekness. Your body has the ability to do whatever it wants, and you're free to do it. You can go be a wild hippie if you want. You can go out and do wild child stuff, but the Lord has caused you to keep all of your motives in control. That's strength under control by His strength. That's what meekness actually is. So when you're called to always be humble and gentle, always be meek, that's keeping all your wanton ways in check. So you're not going out there hating, pouring out, spewing the stuff of the world onto others. That's been held in control by your desire to be with the Lord and the Holy Spirit. You still have a role to play, or He wouldn't say, always, I beg you, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Long-suffering is the word Peter uses about God with us. Patient typically is with the situation. Long-suffering is with human beings. Look, I got to show you mercy. I got to show you grace. And you got to do the same for me. I hate it, Dave, that you wear a t-shirt and teach barefooted. That's so gross. Be patient with me when I hear the Lord say, remove your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. You telling me that 1965 poured concrete is holy ground? Yeah, I am. Be patient with me when I'm trying to hear the Holy Spirit speak, or I may speak into your life that it's something of God, and it may not be, but my goal is to make sure that it is, and it comes out poorly. And that's just me. Let's talk about your bride or your kids or your parents. Let's talk about those folks that are, be patient with them. Be Christ-like to them. Forgiven them. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. He's talking about the body of Christ now. Look, be patient with each other. Dude, the guy picks his nose and wipes it on a wall. He's 3 years old. Be patient with him. Get a shh and a whoop and wipe it up. He just filled his britches. Get new diapers. But he's 73 years old. But see, there's always messes to be cleaned up. We kid in these ways, but we're not going to go down the road of all the messes that we try to make with each other because we're not humble. We're not gentle. Making allowances for each other's fault because of your love. Don't expect people to be where you think they'll be. You'll fall short of the greatness that God's going to have for them. They may be so great beyond your last breath, your expiration day, you're done of air being in you. It's expired when that day is done. There may be greatness that goes beyond that because of God. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with rest, with peace. Unanimity and uniformity are two different things. Do you understand that? I've had more people say you don't look like a pastor when you're teaching. I've had them say, did somebody cut your hair when a new message was come out? You know, you're getting kind of chunky, Dave. Thanks. 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 There may not be uniformity. You know what? We all need to wear flannel with their shirt unbuttoned and go barefoot with jeans that sag. You got to wear overalls. That's unity. That's not uniformity. I heard a no on the overalls. Did you catch that? We don't do everything in lockstep. There's people that drum. There's people that sing. There's people that decorate. There's people that do accounting. There's people that help other people. There's people that X, Y, Z, and you fit into whatever category I mentioned. right? But look. Be patient with each other, make an allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, with love. There's one body of Christ. There's only one spirit. Well, what about my spirit? That's your connecting rod. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit, talking to your soul. That's your body. There's one body. There's one spirit. Just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. We're bound in the unity of understanding we're all going in this direction. That's it. That's all that kind of matters. What are you doing in that regard? What are you doing in that cause for him? The glorious hope. I hope that there's a heaven word bubbles above my head. Wrong. Our hope is the affirmed knowledge of what's to come. I know there's a heaven. Why? He has revealed it in his word countless times. We talked about this yesterday. The life after death perspective. You think some of your people that have expired are not alive? You're wrong. They're greatly alive. And I was talking with the guys yesterday about this one part, the Mount of Transfiguration. I've spoken here about it to you before. You've got Jesus from earth at this point because he's on earth. He's all in brilliant white, whatever that looks like. You've got, who are the other players there? Who? Who? Moses? Say it Charlton Heston style. Moses. Okay, Cecil B. DeMille's. Who's the other guy? What? Elijah. Boom. Wasn't Elijah like off the planet for like a long time? Wasn't Moses at 120 years old been off the planet a long, 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 and yet they're alive talking with Jesus? Bro, what's up? I don't know. What's up? I don't know. I don't know what they said. They may never did that. I don't care. They spoke. That shows me alive in heaven. Doing earthly goods. Do you understand? When you give your life to the Lord, forever you'll be alive. When you don't, you'll be forever in hell. There's one body, one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope. When you see the word hope, when we're talking about the things of the Lord, that is an acclamation, not a question mark, for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We have one Lord. Who is he? God. What's his name on earth? Jesus the Christ, right? Christ is his title, not his name, right? We have one baptism. Is that a water baptism? No. That's what John the Baptist did. It's a spiritual baptism, what the Lord did. That's the unifying half. These people get baptized. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. We hold them down. We sit on them. We jump on their chest till all the bubbles are out, and then they come out. You ready for that, Richard? When you hear, just know that's the sin coming out. I need a big man to sit on them. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Dad. Father of all, who is over all, in y'all, and living through all y'all. Yeehaw. That's amen for you city folk. Isn't that something? That God lives through you? Courses through your veins? Displacing your motivations with his? Dude, that's what I want to be a part of. That's what I signed up for. And oh, by the way, I may need get my neck slit along the way for it. Do I want that to happen? Say, nope. But if he calls you to be a martyr, you may hear the word witness, they're synonymous. If he calls you to be a martyr on behalf of another, that is a privilege. And you suffer just like the ones suffered before you, as Christ on the cross did. And what was his verbiage unto the world? First letters out of the cross. Forgive them, Dad, because if they knew you, they wouldn't do this to you. Or, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That's the action that we have, saints. However, he has given each one of us special gifts through the generosity of Christ. You know, we'll give a gift that's financially bound. I saw a comedian the other day. She had $1,000 to spend. She had all but 95 left. She spent all of it on herself. Had her friends say, hey, we're going to have a Christmas dinner. No gifts. Come to our house. And she said, oh, that's good because we spent all our money on ourselves too. I don't know. I thought it was funny. The generosity that he has given you is the actionable things that he's gotten for you in your life and the way you're wired. That's why Scripture says he has ascended to the heights. He led the crowd. He led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. He ascended back to where he came from. That means he came from someplace. He descended to be with us and ascended to go back. I'll bring up the reason he came in man. Go listen to last week. It'll go in more detail. He ascended to the heights. He led a crowd of captives and he gave gifts to his people. Notice that he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world, and the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. OMG. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Apostles, bringers of the news. There are no necessary apostles in the sense of the original apostles. That's come and gone. Prophets, come and gone. Prophecy today is revealing the truths of the Lord. Can you speak about events to come? Yeah, you sure can. How many of you know when Jesus is coming back? Yeah, good. You shouldn't. Some are evangelists. What are evangelists? They go out and they give the good news. They give the euangelion. The word transliterates, the war is over. Say it. The war is over. The war between us and them is over, right? Again, remember, that word, that discussion, you go into a war with somebody and you leave your wife and kids behind and they win the battle, you're dead, your wife is now theirs, and your sons from 15 to old are dead, and they'll keep the younger ones in the other ways. That's what happens when one country takes over another, one tribe takes another. They get rid of the men. Bosnia-Herzegovina, you guys remember some of those battles that happened about 20, 25 years ago? They killed all the men 15 years and older and left them in a pile outside the house wherever they lay where they slayed. Isn't that amazing? The inhumanity? Oh, wait a minute. That is the humanity, save God, because without him we had these sinful ways. The evangelion means the war is over. Nobody's getting slain. We've won. That's what the officers would have said when they come back. And people would be going, yes. Angels in heaven, mass chorus, are going, yes. Bill gave his life to the Lord. Juanita gave her. Roberto came to know the Lord. Shaquan is now with him forever. Mm. And some pastors and teachers. All pastors are teachers, but not all teachers are pastors. There's a lot of names for the role that God has given me and Brent. There's a lot of names for them. Minister, reverend, some type of frock, right? But I'll tell you, pastor is the one I like the best, and I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't mean pastor. It means shepherd. And it reminds me that these shepherds' imagery were not considered in the day. They were the lowest dregs of society. You know, I know the pastors are looked at like a bunch of hillbilly rubes. It don't bother me. It don't bother me at all. I'll tell you right now, I appreciate what Theodore Roosevelt said. You can have any college you want. Now I'm giving it my paraphrase. You can have any college you want, but the true education is a firm understanding from the book to book, Genesis to maps. Because everything that's in there is written, inspired, breathed into holy men that were looking to be inspired. He equipped them. And that pastor is a shepherd. And his job is threefold, and two of them are synonymous. Feed, tend, feed the sheep. I want everybody on the count of three to go, bah, one, two, three, bah. I know, right? And when their sheep aren't doing a good job, they're being bad. Okay, whatever. Look, I didn't set out to be a pastor. That's what evolved. I don't submit to you that you should be one. I don't submit to you that you shouldn't. It has to be a call. It saddened me when we were on our sabbatical during October. I went to the third church, which was a church where we originated from. The first Calvary Chapel built outside of California is still around. And one of the guys that I've known, he's visited here a couple of times. How you doing, bro? I said, I'm going to Bible college. What for? I want to get my degree. Oh, okay, that's great. I want to go to seminary. Why are you doing it? He says, because I want to get paid. I don't mind that he gets paid. Doesn't bother me at all. But that's what his desire is? That's something that we're going to be talking about probably in February coming up. And teachers, that's just people that teach. You know, the teachers are the gals that are over and guys that are overseeing the kids right now. Yeah, I'm a teacher. You're a teacher. You don't think you're not teaching? You get into a room of a bunch of cynics and you become cynical, you just got taught. You go into a room of cynics and you talk about the goodness of God, you are now teaching. You live Christian life in a fishbowl. You understand? Pretty cool, huh? The responsibility is to equip people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until the day we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced by people when they try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. Did you notice it said in every way? We talk about a diamond ring all shiny on the top, but the underneath side, that's got all the cruddy human skin follicles. That's the part that needs to be cleaned mostly, right? That's us still. Instead, we'll speak the truth in love instead of being blown around by every wind of change and doctrine. Grow in every way more and more like Christ, who's the head of his body, the church. He makes the body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the body is healthy and growing full of love. Pretty cool, huh? You're part of that, helping one another. Each one of you has a role to help one another. I don't believe in going to church, so then quit going. There's a bunch of hypocrites in there. Guess what? You'll be one when you get there. There's people that are working hard to be like the Lord. Let me tell you, hey, listen now. This is going to hurt. Is it okay? Is it okay that this hurts? Yes or no? I know. If you're acting a certain way in here and your reflection of the Lord doesn't look like it does in here, but all other parts of the universe that you live in, you need to change, because you need to be acting like men and women of God everywhere we go. Well, Dave, it's been hard. I understand. Just ask the Lord. He'll make the changes in you. Now, he'll make those changes. You don't have to worry about that. I forgot to take this off. This may be a little tepid. Yeah. You know, that acting one way here and acting a different way, whatever there is. The Greek word for actor is called hypocrite. You know those people you like on TV that play in maybe your favorite show? They're liars. They're not really that person. They're acting like a person that really did act like the person they're playing. But those people you're cheering on are nothing but actors. Do you hate Hollywood? No, my whole family is in acting. I'm not. You have to be that same person here, there, and everywhere. Is that something? Can you handle 94 degrees, whoever's getting baptized? Huh? Is that all right? You folks that are coming up to get baptized, come on up. Some of y'all have to head on. I get it. You can head on in Jesus' name. This is a redneck water heater.